The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
So our charity of the week all this week is the Manx Deaf Society. I'm delighted to be joined by Lucy Buxton. Lucy, it's always lovely to see you. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time.
One of the reasons I asked you to pop up this week in particular is because it is British Sign Language Week. How much is sign language used nowadays?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. So British Sign Language is a language in its own right. And in the UK, it was recognised as a language in 2022 in England, Scotland and Wales, I'm going to say. It's not hugely used over here on the Isle of Man. So in terms of how many sign language users there are who use it as their first language, probably no more than 10. But it's still an important part of a lot of people's lives. I am not a sign language user, but I do have some knowledge of sign language, and I do find it quite useful with my hearing loss. Sometimes if I'm not getting what my husband is saying, or if he's too far away, then he can sign to me and I can understand what it is he's asking me for. And I think as I age and my hearing continues to deteriorate, which with Meniere's disorder, it is likely it is going to do, I'm going to become more reliant on that. But rather than using British Sign Language signs in British Sign Language order, I will probably use it in an adapted form called Sign Supported English. So the signs follow English word order. But that's not to say that knowing British Sign Language isn't helpful. It's a brilliant thing to be able to do, and it is so inclusive. And you never know if or when you're going to lose your hearing. Some people can wake up and literally overnight their hearing has gone and they can really feel quite lost. So just having that little bit of knowledge is lovely, really helpful.
Well, that's the thing, because when you were chatting earlier this week, you described being deaf or being hard of hearing and having hearing impairments as being potentially a hidden disability, and yet it is something that affects an awful lot of us. And as we age, I would suggest that maybe most of us are going to experience some form of hearing loss, aren't we?
We are. The average is, or the ratio we normally refer to, is 1 in 6, but that's spread across all ages of people. As you age, it's not a certainty that you will have hearing loss, but it does become more likely. So the statistics go with about 60% of 60-year-olds and over, 70% of the 70-year-olds, and 80% of the 80-year-olds. So as we are living longer lives, the chances are that you will be affected by hearing loss really does increase. And it only takes a small amount of hearing loss to actually affect how you manage to follow those important conversations with people around you. A lot of the speech sounds happen at quiet decibel levels. So if we think of some of the sounds like the f, s, th, they are high frequency, quiet sounds. You only need a small amount of hearing loss to start losing those consonants. And that will then affect, you know, how well you can follow. You are using an awful lot of guesswork.
And then there's also things like external noises that are getting in the way. You can have things like tinnitus as well. So different conditions too that can affect your hearing. It's not just about deafness, is it?
It's not just about that hearing loss. No, there are a host of things can affect. And when you do have hearing loss, you might have other associated conditions, like you said, tinnitus. But you also might find that the environment you're in can make hearing more difficult, not just because of the sounds around you, but amazingly, the background. So I'm looking at you today in this studio, and there's a gentleman in the studio behind us. And if I was having to really focus on you and concentrate on lip reading you, I will find that my attention will start to go, and I'll start going, oh, look, he's doing that now. And what's... So if you're talking to me, I've suddenly zoned out, because lip reading and following conversation is very difficult. It's why a lot of people do like sign language, because it's immediate, it's there, and it's face to face with the person that you are working with.
Do you know, it must be really exhausting when you're saying that, and the focus that you have to put in to actually concentrate to that level. Like you're saying, you've got distractions all around you. That must be really tiring.
It is really tiring. It is hard work. I feel sorry for my husband for this, but I always use him as an example. he now knows that if we need to have an important conversation about something, then before 12 o'clock is probably the better time to have it. Waiting till late afternoon or early evening, I'm not at my best because I'm tired if I've had a busy day. If we're going out for an event in the evening, and this is something I share with my lip reading classes, give yourself a bit of a break during the day. Don't expect to be able to do a full day of work and then to be able to go out and do a full evening of socialising. It's too much. You get overtired and your eyes get too tired. A lot of the information will go literally from your brain has to spend time decoding what's being said, making sure it makes sense. A lot of words look very similar when they're being spoken. If you can't hear what someone's saying, the easiest speech sounds to confuse are a m, a b, and a p. They might sound very different, but if you just say them without voice, so in, if you were someone who couldn't hear, you've got a... They look very, very similar.
I could see no difference there at all.
It is so hard to see. So there's a lot of context that goes in. So those of us with hearing loss, we're spending a lot of time getting to the end of what someone's saying. So, oh, that was the word. So you go back all the time. We're looking for the gist. And it's a bit like a hamster in a wheel scurrying, trying to keep up. In busy conversation, in busy situations, I will spend a lot of the time following the conversation around the room, but not actually joining in myself unless I've got something with me to help me. So there is equipment out there that can help. Just looking around for, here it is. So this is a very sophisticated microphone. If I switch it on. So this is called a Roger On 3. This is an assistive listening device, which, believe it or not, will pick up very clearly and the sounds around me, but it's specifically designed to pick up speech. So if there were more people in this room and I wanted to talk to you, I can point it towards you or I can have it to someone else. If we're all around a table, then it will be picking up the sounds of everyone around, which, again, it connects directly to these hearing aids, National Health hearing aids. They work really well for me, and this works with it. So I find that quite a useful bit of kit to use. If you have a smartphone, there are some really good speech to text apps out there as well. Now, I often use this. I have an Android phone, and I use, it's usually pre-installed, so it's part of the accessibility features. It's called Live Transcribe. So as I'm speaking, my words will appear in text, and it's fairly accurate. It's not 100%. But Christy, could you tell me, you know, what did you have for breakfast? What's your morning routine? And we'll see how well it picks you up.
I had granola with yogurt and some raspberries for breakfast this morning.
I think that's fairly accurate. Do you agree?
It's absolutely bob on. That's brilliant.
That's really useful. So if I have to go and have a conversation with my GP, for example, and they're there trying to input the notes on the screen at the same time as talking to me, if this is on the table, I can be watching that, which makes sure I can actually follow what's being said. But it's also quite nice, you know, if you go and see Grandad and Grandad, he often gets left out. You know, you all turn up at Christmas and poor old Grandad's stuck in the corner with a glass of something or other, just watching everything going on. If you can have something like that just beside you, he can follow that and you can have a nice little chat with Grandad, and all of a sudden Grandad is back in. The kids these days, they this is easy. They can do this. Some of us who are a little bit older find this technology stuff a little bit hard, but it's quite a good thing. So it's very helpful.
And quite simple to use, to be fair. And I can imagine also in situations where you really have to be able to hear what's going on, they are crucial. So for instance, if you find yourself in hospital, for instance, and you really need to be able to hear what's being said to you and you need to be able to communicate what's going on, something like that could be vital.
It can be. And if you think about it, if someone is discussing what medication you have to take or what you need to have in place when you get home, what you need to remember, your aftercare, not only are you able to read it there, you've got it to take away. So a lot of my brain power goes into decoding what someone is saying, and I can follow you perfectly in the moment. Half an hour later, I get home and husband will say to me, "All right, so what did you and Christy talk about on the radio today then?" Well, I know we talked about deaf awareness and I know we talked about Sign Language Week because that's what week it is this week. But I can't really remember what else. And it honestly, it does not stay. And that's not me being lazy and not bothering to remember. Now, no offence, our conversation today is fairly inconsequential. Nothing is going to go desperately wrong if I can't tell him what we talked about. But if I've been to see the doctor and it's, you know, I want to go on my own. I don't want to have to take somebody with me. I want that independence. He, you know, I get home. He says to me, OK, so what did the doctor say? He said, oh, well, I have to keep taping the tablets. OK, how many of those tablets are you taking? How long do you have to take them for? When do you have to go back? Are they going to contact you or do you have to contact them? And it's gone. Whereas now I've got a written record that I can actually go back and look at and go, do you know what? I feel confident with this. And it really does help. On an iPhone, you can use the Notes app. You switch on the little microphone. So both systems will work, whether you've got an Android phone or an iPhone.
Do you know, it's absolutely brilliant. And as a charity, you have these things available for people to borrow, do you, to use?
Yeah, we have a free-to-loan library. So something else that's quite useful, somebody came in today asking about alarm clocks. So this is a travel alarm clock. So it's attached to its little carry case here. So just to demonstrate, you set the time for the alarm to go off in the morning. You attach it to your bed somewhere, you know, pillow or out of the way. And then when it's wake-up time, the sound of the beep is actually not really loud enough, but that vibration that you get is really quite good. So it saves people from doing the thing that is really not recommended of sleeping with your mobile phone in your pillow. That's a fire risk. We really don't advise people to do that. There are solutions out there. So yes, we have different clocks. We've got over here my favourite phone. And there goes the doorbell. But this phone here is quite a good one. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing phone, I'll say. It's, you know, it's not particularly cool, but it is really effective. You can increase the volume twice, so it can go up to about 90 decibels. It's got a flash on it that will tell you that it's ringing. It's got two settings of the ring tone itself. So when it does ring, you can have it loud or really loud. You can use it hands-free, and that is often helpful for people. So you don't have to try and work out where you hold the handset when you want to listen to it. So yeah, so that the phones are useful. We've got phones, clocks, things that can help with tinnitus, a lovely little watch that will vibrate on your wrist. So if you don't want to have a bedside clock, there's a little watch that we lend out that is rechargeable, and you literally just put it on at night, and again, it will vibrate on your wrist and do that for about 40 seconds until you are properly awake. My favourite is a little doorbell here. So again, keeps people safe at home. So press on the doorbell and it will flash on the top, and you can also, let's see if that'll go now. There we go. So it's got a nice colour on it. And the best thing is it's wireless. So you can have this with you in the sitting room. You can then take it into the kitchen when you're making your cup of tea. So you're not going to miss that person coming to your door. I know a lot of people do still leave their doors open. When you've got hearing loss, that can actually be quite unnerving, because if you have good hearing, chances are you're going to hear someone coming in through the door. You'll hear the door opening. You'll hear them calling, woohoo, Christy, I'm here. I don't get that. I come out of the kitchen with a big mug of tea in my hand, and all of a sudden you're in my hallway. Accidents happen. I'm likely to shout, scream, drop the cup of tea or whatever. So being able to know that I've got someone coming to the house and when is helpful.
It's security as well, isn't it? I mean, it's keeping yourself safe too.
It is. We are generally a very safe island, but when you have that level of disability, it does start to knock your confidence. So this gives you that opportunity to feel more confident and safe in your home.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because all of these things, they are so simple in a way, but incredibly effective.
Yeah. So again, yes, you were talking previously about what people can do to help us. So when we get donations in, this equipment library, we probably spend about £2,000-£3,000 a year just on equipment. We want to have current equipment that people can borrow. There's no point in my mind lending somebody something. They say, well, yeah, that was a really good clock. Where do I get it from? Oh, well, they don't make that anymore. Yeah. You want this version. Well, will it do the same as the one I borrowed? Oh, I don't really know. So we have to keep on top of that and keep that up to date.
And so if someone does want to borrow them, do they just give you a shout? Do they get in touch? Do they send you one of those emails? You said emails is just a good way.
About to say email is the best way. Yep. Because then I've got a written record and I can get back to people. Also, if people are coming in to borrow stuff from us, although, you know, we're on Somerset Road, number 3 Somerset Road, because it's a residential street, a lot of people can't actually find us. So if someone comes to us by email, it's really easy to say, here's a photograph of the building, here's the actual map, this is where we're close to, you know, this is the bus route that we're on, so they can actually find us quite easily. But coming back to Sign Language Week, a lot of what we've talked about here isn't really to do with sign language, but we have Sign Language Week, you know, this week. And as well as the sign language classes that we offer at different times throughout the year, we've got a couple of free taster sessions in sign language coming up on Friday. Places are limited. I've got 2 times, one at 10 till 11 and one at 12 till 1, for people to come along and just learn the basics of sign language, learn the manual alphabet, some simple greetings, and a little bit of how to make yourself more deaf friendly. Something you said earlier, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you mentioned the word hearing impairment. Impairment is one of those phrases that an awful lot of people in the deaf community don't like.
Oh, I didn't know that.
To quite like deaf, deafened, hard of hearing, hearing loss. Hearing impairment is one of those phrases that a lot of people are really against, because it makes you feel as though there is something wrong or something broken, there is something impaired about you. It's a personal choice, but it's just one of those. It's not on the absolute list of no-nos, such as deaf and dumb. That would be on the definite no-nos. Hearing impairment is one of those that some people don't like. But if they come along to the taster sessions, they do need to book, because we've got 10 places on each of those 2 sessions. Mm-hmm. They will learn some sign language and also get information and be on my mailing list for the future courses that we've coming up later in the year.
And there's something about it, isn't it? Because I know you're saying, yes, there's not that many people that will use sign language as their first form of communication. But there's something about people learning little bits of sign language. It just shows that you're aware, that you're willing, and actually you have a compassion that you want to sort of be able to help and sort of be there for that person and make them feel comfortable.
Indeed. If you imagine, if you are the person living in a country where, of, let's say, 80,000 people, there are probably 100 that you can communicate with. All it takes is one extra person, and you've increased by 1%, 2 people, 2%, 10 people, you have increased by 10% the number of people that you can just say, hello, how are you? How are you doing today? Isn't the weather dreadful? Mm-hmm. Isn't the weather glorious? Hopefully, if we're going on yesterday. But yeah.
It's those little bits. If you go to a different country, you would probably learn some basic phrases mm-hmm. in that country to be able to speak to people in that language.
Indeed.
And so this is much the same in a way, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, we have native-born Manx people who are British Sign Language users.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you know what? It is something that you do still see. As much as you said, it's not something that's necessarily used by enormous numbers of people. However, brilliantly, you do see sign language a lot on television. We have it at the Gaiety Theatre. There's signed performances now as well. It is something that is still in use, and people do actually make it accessible, don't they, as well? It's still out there for people to make use of.
It does. And it's not just sign language users who might be using sign language. So somebody like me, a little bit of sign supported English, I can pick up those signs. When we come to the TT, for example, we have a sign language interpreter in the grandstand for senior day and the Saturday following. So the last 2 days of race week, hopefully it's going to happen and take place this year. And she will interpret to that section of the grandstand to anybody who's a sign language user. Amazingly, I had a message from a friend about 2 weeks ago who's in Australia. And they were watching some motorbike racing there, got talking to someone who said, you know, they said they were from the Isle of Man. I was at the TT. I was watching somebody doing sign language. And they were a sign language. They worked in a school for deaf children, so they knew sign language. They weren't a sign language user themselves. But that message has gone all the way around, all the way to Australia. So it's just amazing how far it gets.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, listen, how do people get hold of you, Lucy? How do we find out more about what you've got going on this week for British Sign Language Week? How do they sign up to those sessions?
So information will be going out on our Facebook page. You can get in contact with us through Facebook. You can call or text 202-875. You can send an email, which is always my preferred form of communication these days, to contact at manxdeafsociety.org.im, or send us a message or a WhatsApp, however. But yeah, phone, text, email, the best three.
Wonderful. Always great to talk to you. Lucy Buxton, it just remains for me to say thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.